Father, we are grateful that you are worthy. That God, in all things, you hold in your hand. So, Father, I pray that as we take a few moments and dive into your word, that not only would we be challenged and changed, God, but that you would get the glory. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love you. So, Father, we just ask that you would be with Kid Connect, you would be with me as I open your word. Give me the words to say, and let nothing I say be outside your will. God, we just ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. Well, kids, it's time for Kid Connect, and so you would meet your teacher over here for a special time of worship and fun. And as the kids do that, it is always an interesting thing when your oldest runs into the sanctuary and goes, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And I'm going, "What? Who fell? Who got hurt?" And she goes, "No, Papa Gigi Babs are here." And I said, "What? Papa Gigi Babs are here." I said, "Slow down. Papa Gigi and Babs are here." I said, "My mom and dad are here?" "Uh-huh." "Oh, Pastor texts me and goes, pressure's on." But I do want to say it is nice to have my parents and my aunt in the audience today and with us. And it's always nice to have family here. It's a somewhat nerve-wracking when you grow up with listening to your father preach and he, you know, you show up and surprise him. And it's fun when he doesn't know you're coming and, you know, it's a big enough church you can kind of blend in. And we kind of sit where we normally would sit and he'd be doing announcements and look over and, well, hey, it's another thing for him to do it to me. So, but with this, yeah, it's my mom just said it's my turn to tell stories on him. I'm not going to do that, but I do want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Joshua. We're going to look at chapters 3 and 4. And here's the thing. The message is entitled A Living Hope or A Living Faith. And I think faith and hope do go hand in hand. But here, to give you a little bit of background, Moses has passed away. Joshua has taken over as leader, and they have sent spies into Jericho. Rahab has helped them, and now they are having to move. And God is telling them something specific. And when Pastor was going to be out for surgery and said, "Hey, you're it. You're preaching till I come back," basically. And I went, "Hurry home, hurry back, because we all miss you." I began to think about what to share on this last Sunday of 2019 going into 2020. And this passage, this story came to mind because Israel had to make a choice, had to make a decision. And what we see here is God's provision. And I think it's interesting. Having a living hope and a living faith requires action. It means we can't just sit still. It means we can't just sit by and expect God to just move. We have to take initiative as well. And that goes in four different things. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, I am going to do this a little different. Since we're looking at two different chapters, I'm not going to read it all at once. So I'm going to talk about and break it up into four points. And we're going to read as we go along. The first thing that I want us to understand is this. God is a perfect guide. He always leads us where he wants. Notice, starting in verse 1, it says this. Joshua started early the next morning and left Acacia Grove and with all the Israelites. They went as far as the Jordan and stayed there before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priest, you must break camp and follow it." Verse 4, "But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourselves and the Ark. Don't go near it so you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow." God has a specific set of guidelines right here that he wants the people to follow. Then what we see is this. The people get told, when you see the Ark of the Covenant where God's presence dwelt, pass you. Get up and follow. But don't follow too close. Now, here's the thing. Last year, it's kind of funny, the kids and I were talking how last year we were preparing, and actually I think we were almost or about to be at Disney World. If you ever have a chance to go to Disney World on New Year's Eve, don't. If you have a chance to go to Disney World, go. Just don't go on New Year's Eve, because it was a madhouse. To the point where I literally had kids on either hand and were like, okay, follow me and don't let go. Follow me close, because I don't want to lose you. But God has a different set of instructions right here. Don't follow too close. I want you to keep in sight of what I'm doing, but I want it to make sure you know that what happens is because of me, not you. I am leading you, not you are with me going to get. I am leading. I don't want you getting that mixed up. But notice Joshua says, consecrate yourselves, because the Lord will do wonders around you. God will always guide us and take us where He needs us to be for His service. We have to be prepared. I mean, it's this age-old thing that we prepare for Sunday on Saturday. Sunday is a day that in our house, I've shared this before, is Saturday's a madhouse in our house. The kids could be great all week, and Saturday rolls around, and oh man, it just goes nuts. But we have to consistently prepare our hearts and our minds for what God is going to do. And when we are not prepared, we lose when God moves. If we're not prepared to go, for instance, last night I got home and we were beginning to cook, and Steph is cooking in the kitchen, and as she's cooking, she realizes, oh, we're out of salt. So I said, do you want me to go to the store real quick and grab salt? Yes. Okay. Well, the second Katie hears it, can I go? I don't care. Put your shoes on. She's fully dressed. The other girls woke up from the naps and decided to put their frozen pajamas on that looked like their dresses. And then all the rest of them, I want to go too. You're in pajamas. You can't go. Well, I guess you can. Katie's going to sit in the car and run into the Family Dollar. I mean, I guess it'll be okay. Well, now we got to find shoes. And now we got to do this. And now we got to do this. Steph's cooking. I got to get salt. Guess what happens? I wait for the kids. But imagine if I didn't have the moments to wait. And I say, okay, kids, if you're going with me, come on, find your shoes, find this. There was one that was ready. The others weren't. See, when we are not prepared and ready, and our hearts are not willing and ready to hear God's word, and when He says, do this, we are ready to move, we miss out on probably one of the biggest blessings we could ever imagine. There's been numerous times in my life, and yes, I'll tell, I guess, a dad story, a mom and dad story, I should say, where dad has, I've learned over the years, when my parents just say, trust me, I go, okay. I mean, being an only child, it's not like I can blame it on a sibling. I've tried blaming it on the dog once, and my dad looked at me and went, Beauregard's not that dumb. Our Cocker Spaniel was smart. He's in heaven right now. But there were a few occasions growing up in college and in end of high school that my dad would say randomly, one particular instance, we had Steve Green come to the church. Steve Green is a worship leader. We sing some of his songs and all that. Well, he had come to Birchman and did a concert. And in the middle of it, it was really neat. The power, we blew a fuse, and he ended up having to do part of the concert a cappella, which was really cool, because you always wonder if some of these people really sing. And it's really neat when all the power goes out and they're still actually able to belt it like you hear on the CD. Well, anyway, at the end of it, I said, Dad, I'm going to go to Bennigan's with some friends. He looks at me and goes, why don't you just come home? And I'm like, because I want to go to Bennigan's and get a burger with my friends. He said, okay, well, get a burger, be home by such and such time. Seriously? I'm like a junior in high school. I don't have a curfew. Just be home at... Okay, Dad, I'm not going to argue with you, even though I did a little bit. So I go to dinner. I finish. I come home. I come in the back door. Lo and behold, Steve Green is sitting at my kitchen table eating Chex Mix. And I walk in and I go, you're Steve Green. And he looked at me and went, last time I checked. I'm like, okay. I said, what are you doing here? He said, your parents invited me over. Said you were going to be here in a little bit. I've been wanting to chat with you. What? And it was interesting. We sat down and we began to chat, and I love music, and we talked about music and things. And one of the things that I had heard Mom and Dad say for years, but he put in perspective, he said, listen, music ushers things in for us. He said, it prepares our hearts for certain things. He said, what is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? I said, well, my alarm goes off. He goes, is it a normal alarm or is it the radio? I said, it's the radio. Well, what station is it set to? And I just sat there quietly. The hard rock station. It's set to Bill Gaither. No, I couldn't say that. I love Bill Gaither. I'm just not a Southern gospel guy. And he said, okay, well, can I encourage you? I said, sure. He said, why don't you set it to a Christian radio station so that when you get up, the first thing you hear is praise and worship. And instead of listening to just random music at night, go to sleep listening to worship and watch what'll happen as you wake up. I went, huh, I never thought about that. Parents can tell you, I did it. My demeanor changed. My attitude began to change because I began and ended my day with worship. I wasn't just listening or watching TV or doing something, you know, just random. It was an intentional thing. God tells the people, or Joshua tells the people, consecrate yourselves because God is going to do something awesome and you've got to be ready. The second thing is this. He is a perfect provider. Notice in verse 9, it says, then Joshua told the Israelites, come closer. They had reached the edge of the water of the Jordan. He says, come closer and listen to the words of the Lord your God, he said. You will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly dispossess you before you, the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, all the ites. Let's just jump to Jebusites because some of these I just can't really pronounce. I've never been able to, so my apologies. And verse 11, when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth goes ahead of you into the Jordan, now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe. Verse 13, when the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, come to rest in the Jordan's waters, its waters will be cut off. The water flowing downstream will stand up in a mass. When the people broke camp up to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. Now the Jordan overflows its banks through the harvest season, but as soon as the priests carrying the Ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the city of Abra, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priest carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. God provided a way. He is that perfect provider. And here's the thing. Imagine those not ready for it. Their hearts weren't ready. They weren't ready to see what God's going to do. They probably ran late or whatnot, and they watched and was like, well, what's so special about this? Do you not realize 40 years earlier, God had done this with the Red Sea? And it's a reminder to the people who may have seen it as a kid or just remember that look, don't forget, I am still Yahweh and I can still do this. I am in control. God will provide our every need. But we have to trust him. And that's tough. I'm just going to be honest. It is tough. I can tell you numerous times throughout our marriage that we've sat there and gone, huh? How is this going to work? We've had people in our lives when we've moved various places go, Steph, doesn't it work? No. She hadn't worked for a while. When we moved equipment, she looked at me and said, I'm not working. I want you to God's going to provide for us so I can be home with the kids right now. And I went, okay. And there have been times where we looked at it and went, I don't know. And God goes, just trust me. He's always provided. He always will. But we have to be ready for it. If our hearts are not ready, we won't be ready for when he provides. But notice this. Number three, he wants us to remember. He wants us to never forget. Because when we begin to forget that he's a perfect provider and forget that he's the perfect guide, we forget what he can and will do. Notice this. In chapter 4, verse 1, after the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Now, I want you to imagine how long that might have been. There's no telling how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands, upwards of a million people crossing the Jordan on dry ground, with the priests still holding the ark in the Jordan on dry ground, spread out where they can walk. After all of them crossed the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Choose 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priest's feet are standing. Carry them with you and set them down at the place where you spend the night. So Joshua summoned the 12 men selected from the Israelites, one man from each tribe, and said to them, go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? You should tell them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. See, we have to remember something. God desires us to remember what he did for us. It's the reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's the reason why we gather every Sunday. Not just so you can hear a preacher flap his lips and tell you some funny stories and maybe get out of here and beat people to lunch. He desires us to come together as a body of believers to grow with each other and remember the amazing things God has done. I'll never forget. I mean, it's one of the things that my parents, I had no parent stories until you showed up. I promise you, my parents, I generally try not to preach with notes, but I'm just going to tell another parent story. My mom and dad, when I got saved, wanted me to remember the date. Wanted me to remember it to make it special. April 30th, 1991. It was interesting. A few years back when our family friend George Tamaravelli died, I got the chance to go to the funeral. It was at the church that I grew up at. I got saved and baptized, and it was interesting. I walked in the center aisle, and I stood there, and I just kind of was like, wow. So much has changed, but yet it's all stayed the same. It's still the same color carpet, still the same color pews. Everything still looks the same, but it's just different. I mean, you can always go home, but it's never home to a certain degree. So I'm standing there, and I happened to look down the aisle and to the left, and I went, there it is. So I'm a pastor now. I'm pastoring Calvary Baptist Church. I walk the center aisle, and I go where Miss Nicole is sitting, because that's where I was sitting April 30th, 1991. And I stood there and went, that walk felt forever. But it wasn't very far. I remember it like it was yesterday. We had Dixon Ryle preaching. And I forget the guy who played trombone influenced me to play trombone. But Dixon Ryle had been preaching about surrendering to God's call. And I had been kind of fidgety and all that kind of stuff. And I stood up and it was, I grabbed the pew in front of me. And I guess you could say I was white knuckling it. And I just held on to it for a little while. And I just didn't want to move. Even though God was going, get out there and give your life to me. And the whole, I'm doing this mental battle in my head, but I'm good. Dad's pastor. I'm okay. I'm born in a Baptist hospital. My parents are Baptist. I'm a Christian. We're good. And God's going, no, you're not. Come on. You need to come to me. And you need to surrender your heart and life. And Dad's down front. He's always my mom and Dad have never pushed anything on me, whether it's surrendering to salvation or surrendering to ministry, anything like that. But a man named Bob Howell was a deacon. And he came up to me and put his arm on my shoulder. Said, Andrew, what are you waiting on? I had no clue what he said at first. I turned and looked at him and said, what are you waiting on? I said, I have no clue. He said, then I'll walk with you. Met Dad at the front, prayed, and that day will forever be etched in my brain for two reasons. Number one, God changed me. But number two, my parents, every April 30th from that moment forward, always celebrated my spiritual birthday. And I didn't understand it for a long time, but they were like, we never want you to forget. And I went, fair enough. Both of them can tell you the day they got saved. I had the privilege when after my my dad's sister passed away and we had to move my grandmother. We were cleaning out dad's childhood home, and we were in his room, and it was interesting. And dad, it was neat to hear dad talk about this. I said, "So this was your childhood room?" He goes, "Oh yeah." He said, "I can tell you, you could draw a line down the middle of it, and you could tell which side was mine and which side was my sister's." I said, "Yeah, because yours was like immaculate, perfectly clean, iron sheets." I don't know if he ironed his sheets back then or even if he still does. I don't know. But the point of the matter was, he said, "I'll never forget it." He walked with me and he said, "Right here was my Bible. I had just gotten off the phone with your mom." And he said, "Right here was my Bible." And I pulled the Bible off the shelf in the closet, and I had to dust it off, and I opened it up to Matthew and was reading a parable. And at this point he said, "My bed was right here," and he said, "I knelt right here." It's just interesting to see how when God changes our lives or does something incredible, it's etched in our minds. And here at this point in time, when the people are crossing the Jordan, when they are done, God tells Joshua, "We're not done, because I don't want you to forget this moment." And he says, "Go get these 12 stones and put them here, so when people come back and they see these stones and your ancestors go, 'Well, what are they here for?' Let me tell you about what God did. Let me tell you how good God is." But the fourth thing that I want us to see is this. He is always faithful. Notice verse 10 of chapter 4. "The priests carrying the ark continued standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed." I can only imagine how tired these men must have been. But they stayed there and they stayed strong. He said, "until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to tell the people. And that after everyone had finished crossing, the priests with the ark of the Lord crossed on the side of the people." The Rebenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh went into battle formation in front of the Israelites as Moses had instructed them, about 40,000 equipped for war. On verse 14, "On the day that the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, they revered him throughout his life. The Lord told Joshua, 'Command the priests who carry the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan.' So Joshua commanded the priests, 'Come up from the Jordan.' When the priests carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan and their feet stepped on solid ground, the waters of the Jordan resumed their course, flowing over the banks as before." Here's the reason why I say God is always faithful. Because He's with us before the trial, He's with us in the trial, and He's with us when the trial ends. As I was reading and studying, what came to my mind was Colonel Hal Moore in the Vietnam War. There was a movie named We Were Soldiers after this story. And there's this scene where he's talking to the men right before they have to go into Vietnam and fight. And they're in the cavalry division and they're riding in on helicopters being dropped in. And he basically explains, I know I can't bring every one of you home. But he says this, he says something very profound that when I heard it, as I read this, my mind went to this scene. And he says, "I promise you this, I will be the first one on the battlefield, I will be the last one off, and I will leave nobody behind." And here's the thing. When we go and enter whatever trial, tribulation, struggle, or whatever it is that we are going into, God is already there. It didn't surprise Him. Whether it surprises us or not, it doesn't surprise Him. And all we are doing is meeting Him in that moment. He then guides us through all the way. And then when we are safely on that other side, it is then He moves with us. He makes sure that when we are trusting Him and doing what we are called to do, He then will move with us. Just like here, the first one into the problem was the priests carrying the ark. And the second they hit the waters parted. Because God said, "This is how I'm going to take care of them." And then after everybody was across and the 12 stones were placed, God says, "Okay, let's go. Out." And as that last one left, after everybody was safely across, those waters came back. Listen, I don't know what you have going on in your life. I don't know what 2020 brings you. I don't know what 2019 did. But what I do know is this. Everybody needs to remember how faithful God is. He is faithful not only to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but to then guide us to where He wants us. You are not here by accident. Nothing we do is by accident. And it's interesting. Matt Redman years ago wrote a song, and I don't remember all the lyrics to it, but I remember the chorus. He says this, "Never once did God leave us on our own. Never once did He leave us to ourselves." And that's the premise of it. God has never left us alone. He's never left us by ourselves. He's always with us, always by our side, walking with us through whatever it is, whether we realize it or not. And at the end of the day, when we put our head on our pillows, we can trust that when we wake up in the morning, God is not done with us. The fact that you and I have breath in our lungs means keep moving. Follow what He is calling us to do. And in doing so, be found faithful in where He's called us. Because He is a perfect God. He is a perfect provider. He never wants us to forget. But most importantly, and this is where I'm grateful, He's the one who's faithful. Because if it was meant for me to be the faithful, I would have been doomed a long, long time ago. So maybe you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus. You've never understood that moment that I talked about for me and myself personally, April 30th. That transformation where I went from darkness to light, from a dead heart to a beating heart. Well, understand this. There is one God and He loves you. And He sent His perfect and holy Son, Jesus Christ, as we just celebrated Christmas, to live a perfect life. And to die a sacrificial death for you and for me because we're sinners. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And He didn't just die for us. He rose from the dead. Because here's the thing. If He just died for us, we don't have a hope in our faith. We don't have a living hope. We don't even have a living faith. But He rose from the dead, beating death, giving us the victory that we so need. And maybe you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Christ. Maybe you're here and you've given your heart and life to Christ, but you've never done it publicly. You've never said publicly, "I am a Christian." Today I'm asking that you do that. Maybe you're here and God's been working on you to join the church and walk with us. And as we reach our community and reach this area, in just a moment, we're going to do that. But maybe you're here in 2019 really was a struggle. And you know that 2020 has some battles coming up as well. Well, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar and just lay it at His feet. You know, it was interesting. I read this thing from a friend of mine in Portland that said, "I always felt guilty about falling asleep when I'm talking to the Lord from time to time laying at night. But you ever had a child climb up in your lap and get comfortable and start talking to you, and in the middle of it, they feel safe, secure, and calm? And they doze off." See, that's how God is for us. He wants us to lay everything at His feet so that we can rest in Him. Shall we stand and with our eyes bowed and our head bowed and our eyes closed? Let's remember, Father, we come to You now. And God, I just ask that whatever it is that people are going through, whatever it is that we need to be reminded of, God, I just ask that You would work in our hearts and lives like only You can. And God, I just ask that if there's someone here who needs to do business with You, God, that today would be the day they do that. Today would be the day that of salvation, of surrender, of releasing whatever it is that they need to release, God, because they've been holding on to it for too long. God, whatever it is you're calling us to do, may we be obedient and follow you. But God, most importantly, I just ask that you'd get the glory and honor for all things. For it's your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.